As Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin stood beside his Israeli counterpart, he said he had a clear message.
America's support for Israel's security is unshakable. And Israel is not alone.
There's no precise tally available of how many weapons the U.S. has sent to Israel since it launched its war in Gaza following the bloody Hamas attack on October 7th. A partial picture has emerged. In a report last month, Vox said the U.S. had rushed the transfer of 1,000 so-called smart bombs and 1,800 GPS guidance bomb kits. Bloomberg said a leaked Pentagon document reported the U.S. had delivered 2,000 Hellfire missiles, 36,000 rounds of 30-millimeter cannon ammunition, and 1,800 bunker buster munitions. Earlier this month, the Biden administration bypassed Congress to rush 14,000 tank shells. Since Israel began its onslaught, it has killed an estimated 20,000 Palestinians, including about 7,000 children. A senior Hamas spokesman, Osama Hamdan, said the U.S. bears the blame. His remarks were translated by Al Jazeera.
These crimes and horrendous massacres are committed by the Nazi-Israeli occupation forces with full American support, making the American administration and its President Biden a primary partner in shedding our Palestinian blood.
In the face of mounting international outrage over the death and destruction, the Biden administration has urged the Israeli military to scale back the indiscriminate attacks. Austin put it this way.
Democracies are stronger and more secure when we uphold the law of war. And as I've said, protecting Palestinian civilians in Gaza is both a moral duty and a strategic imperative.
Austin said he had discussed how to transition from what he called high intensity to lower intensity and more surgical operations, but he said the U.S. would not dictate timelines or terms to Israel. For his part, Israeli Defense Chief Yoav Gallant made it clear there's no end in sight.
The war will take time, and I can assure only one issue, that eventually we will reach our goals. First of all, to destroy Hamas. Second, to rescue the hostages. Both of them are very important equally.
The joint remarks by Gallant and Austin were notable for what they didn't discuss. Neither mentioned the prospects for a ceasefire, which both the Israeli and U.S. administrations reject. Neither Gallant nor Austin referred to the negotiations reportedly underway to win freedom for more hostages. CIA Director William Burns met in Warsaw with the head of Israel's Mossad intelligence agency and the Prime Minister of Qatar, who is the conduit to Hamas. Hamas released a video of three elderly Israeli male hostages, 84, 80, and 79 years old. One of them, addressing his remarks to the government, said that, quote, "You have to release us from here. It does not matter the cost," he added. "We don't want to be casualties as a direct result of the IDF military airstrikes." It wasn't clear when the video was recorded. The recording did not refer to the Israeli military's mistaken killing last week of three Israeli hostages in Gaza who were waving a white flag and shouting in Hebrew when they were fired on. Meantime, Human Rights Watch accused Israel of using starvation of Palestinian civilians as a method of warfare in Gaza. The report cited as evidence Israeli forces deliberately blocking the delivery of water, food, and fuel while willfully impeding humanitarian assistance, apparently razing agricultural areas and depriving the civilian population of objects indispensable to their survival. Omar Shakir is Israel and Palestine director at Human Rights Watch. In an interview with Al Jazeera, he also cited the statements of Israeli officials themselves.
Statements by Israeli officials spelling out in clear terms that their strategy or policy is to starve civilians as a tool of leverage to achieve political outcomes, whether it be release of hostages, the destruction of Hamas. Putting it all together, you reach the clear conclusion that the Israeli government is using starvation as a weapon of war, which is an abhorrent war crime.
The United Nations World Food Program reported early this month that 90% of households in northern Gaza and two-thirds of households in southern Gaza had spent at least one full day and night without food. I'm Eileen Alfandari for KPFA News.